How have you not seen this?
Welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. I'm joined by my guest today, Nathan Tillis.
Second host in command, Nathan Tillis. How you guys doing?
He's getting way too big for his britches right out the gate. And we just watched Walt Disney's Lady and the Tramp. Pretty classic movie featuring some classical jazz singing from Peggy Lee. Mm-hmm. Featuring, but not limited to, racist-ass Siamese cats. Also pretty infamous for that adorable spaghetti scene with the lady and the tramp sharing the noodles, and the owners, who we'll get into later. 89% on Rotten Tomatoes, pretty high regard for
movie. What do you think they lost that 11% though?
Probably in not committing to killing off anyone in this, except for the rat.
Yeah, just the poor dogs. But that doesn't matter.
Yeah. By being cowards and not showing us those scenes.
Just imply that they're injected with some sort of cyanide.
No, if you're going to make us face reality, you put it in our face, you fucking cowards at Disney. So, one of their classic, pretty well-known films. Nathan, how have you not seen this?
Actually, when I was a kid, I didn't see a lot of Disney movies. My family... I remember watching a lot of Toxic Avenger, like Troll 2, like B movies.
So you watched trauma films, but not Disney in your house?
Troll 2 is not a trauma film.
No, but Toxic Avenger.
That's the
is.
Only one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I actually had the action figure of that, but yeah, like Disney movies I only ever watched if I was watching it at a friend's house, because my family didn't.
Like, just weren't into them? They weren't allowed?
Good question. I watched Ghostbusters and Labyrinth and, like, Never Ending Story.
Disney.
But not Disney.
Can
no.
we... Can, we have your parents on the phone right now.
Hello? Hi, Nathan's mom.
Yeah. Oh, because you're a monster and you don't know how children work? Okay, that explains everything.
Yeah.
That explains why Nathan has turned into the person he is today. I get it now. That's so weird, because, like, growing up in my house, and we talked about this before in a couple of other episodes, like, we had every Disney movie. Like, when it came out, like, we got it. Like, and we were not a rich family by any stretch.
No.
But, like, Disney was... We always made sure that we had a Disney movie, because, like, it was one thing that was kind of universal amongst my family. Like, everybody could agree, you know, like, if we couldn't figure out what we wanted to watch, a Disney movie was a pretty safe bet that it would be liked across the board.
I think my family is just staunchly against wholesome entertainment, and that was the problem. So I'd watch, like, Ghostbusters or Toxic Avenger or
Mario
Dinosaur.
That's such a bizarre...
Yeah, I mean, like, I've only recently started watching Disney movies, and, like, I've recaptured my childhood slowly in the past couple of years.
So when you got to watch Disney movies with friends, like, are there any from your youth that, like, stick out, like, that you remember experiencing at the age that, like, you were kind of supposed to first experience those ones?
Like, I watched a Goofy movie before I watched Snow White.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the first time I watched that, I was, like, 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the funniest movie to me.
Yeah,
and
Goofy was pretty funny.
I, like, watched Snow White when I was, like, 12.
Uh-huh.
But that was also at a friend's house. I didn't own it or
anything
like that. And it was fine.
Yeah, that's so weird. The thing, like, these things are so ingrained in a lot of us. And then there's just these weirdos like you who come along and somehow just... So all the Disney movies, like, that you've seen, like... I guess, what would you say is your favorite of the handful that you have seen?
Oh, jeez.
And then after that, what are some of the big ones that you haven't seen?
I'd probably say Toy Story is my favorite Disney movie.
That's a pretty solid answer.
But that's just because, like, the nostalgia of it. Like, that was one of the first, like, Disney movies. I don't even know if it was a Disney movie when it first came out. That's still just originally Pixar by itself, right?
Yeah.
I still consider it a Disney movie, though, but...
Well, yeah, it absolutely...
I don't know, like Ratatouille's good.
Yeah,
like I just recently watched that though, but
what?
Yeah,
I think the only Pixar movies that I didn't see in the theaters were Bug's Life, Finding Nemo, and Toy Story 2.
Yeah,
like for like after the first couple, I was like, I need to fucking go see all of these. Like I was super into. I remember being really excited for Ratatouille. That's a great one.
It really is. Yeah, it's similar to like the Italian diner scene in Lady and the Tramp.
You
brought that up.
We were talking the Italian restaurant. We had a fun little theory going. Tony's restaurant, because that's your obvious go-to Italian name when you don't feel like exercising a whim of creativity.
I mean, he can't be Mark or anything or Jeremy.
No, but there are other Italian. What, you couldn't have been a Benzino or something?
Recepi or...
Yeah. Any number of Italian names. Not Tony. That's our go-to.
We can't make it too ethnic. We're Disney.
Yeah. But, no, so the line of theory we got on... the idea... You never see any customers in that restaurant.
No.
The restaurant... You see them bringing food out to the alley. And then at one point, like, literally setting up a makeshift table... for dogs and giving them food, which begs the question, is anybody actually eating at this restaurant?
No, and
we don't think so, because probably because the health board shut them down, or because they went out of business years ago but were able to keep up the rent or something. Also, maybe they have a rat cooking for them. Just a lot of health
also violations. Immediately responding to the dogs being in the alley, like they're waiting on them.
Yeah,
finally they're here.
Oh, we've been watching the clock, wondering when this dog is going to come back that visits the shop once every week.
I'm just waiting for the scene where the dog's like, oh yeah, Tony's restaurant. And then another dog is like, what do you mean Tony's restaurant? That place shut down 20 years ago.
It's just these crazy guys who know how to play the accordion and the mandolin. Just waiting. It's like, I don't think, and I know they exist... I don't think I've ever been to a restaurant where musicians have come to me and my date's table and played music for me. But these fucking dogs get an accordionist and a fucking mandolin player? What the fuck is this bullshit?
They know that dogs appreciate music. I mean, evident in the jazz singing dog at the Pound.
Yeah, the jazz singing dog. Peggy Lee, the noted jazz singer who voices three different characters in this.
Two awful ones.
yeah, two terrible ones. But let's talk about the Siamese cats named Sai and Am. Because again, why try? It was the 50s.
That was like the most clever part of their names. But that it ended there.
Yeah, oh god.
Buck teeth immediately when they pop out of the box.
It had been a while since I had seen this, and I forgot about the buck teeth. And then all I could think about was, like, those Captain America covers from the 40s, where it's him punching Japanese soldiers with, like, the yellow skin and the buck teeth or the fangs or the bad rice patty ass. I was like, oh, come on, man. There's not a war on.
No, if Disney could have put hats on them without anybody saying anything, they would have.
Yeah, no, what, cats don't wear bad rice paddy hats?
That's about the only reason that I could think of where they wouldn't do that. Like, cats don't wear hats, though, guys. But no, if we could, God. We'd put rice paddy hats on them.
Oh, man. And then, too, like, so it's bad enough with the buck teeth. But then the song starts. And it's very clearly a white person doing a terrible, very vague, non-regional... generic Asian accent.
Just confusing R's and L's, and that's all it is.
Yeah. It's like, oh, cool. This is like watching Mickey Rooney and Breakfast at Tiffany's again. Oh, hello! It's like, oh, God, come on. How? Like, how? How is anyone watching this?
It was the 50s. It was better times.
No, it was times where people didn't get think pieces written about them. That's, you know, the 50s needed more think pieces. We could have ended racism if we had think pieces starting in the 50s.
BuzzFeed was creating 19 most racist things in Disney as they were being released.
Just, you know, I wish we could make a time machine so we could send Solan and Jezebel back to the 50s and just really start a revolution of words. just really, really changed things up.
It really would have.
Although Salon is kind of the worst. And they would have focused on the wrong things. Like, not these racist-ass cats.
Yeah.
The way they talk, too. Like, they talk the way that an alien who's learning our language would talk. Not like a person would talk. Not like a person who was born on Earth. They talk like Jeff Goldblum and Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans and Earth Girls Are Easy as aliens learning to assimilate themselves into human culture. And it's fucking insane.
Oh. But going back to like the restaurant scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like after the restaurant scene, they go to like that outlook where all the people in the cars are sitting, and like, and it's implied that the dogs fuck out.
Oh yeah, right. yeah.
I just appreciate that Disney has the class not to heavily imply that they fucked.
Yeah, just they allude to
like, it. Like, guys, there's kids.
Yeah,
but the adults know what we want.
The adults know that Lady and the Tramp got it in. They know that things happened. One of the things. Well, this is I've talked about this very briefly. I think we did Mulan. One of the things that bugs me about Disney movies, I say as a person who really likes Disney movies, is that there's very, very mixed or completely contradictory messages in their movies. Because, like, in general, a lot of the times it's be yourself or, you know, be who you are. And we've seen that rule broken in countless films. Aladdin.
Yeah.
Fucking The Lion King.
I mean, be yourself Hunchback as long as you have something interesting about
yourself. Yeah. Beauty and the Beast, another huge offender.
Yeah.
The Aristocats. This one bothers me because Tramp spends that whole movie talking about, like, a life without fences, you know, and, like, and a free lifestyle. And everything that he says is going to happen to Lady when the baby comes. It does happen. Not because of her owners, but because Aunt Sarah coming and taking over.
Yeah.
Like, she gets thrown out. She gets muzzled. Just all this terrible shit happens to her. And does that mean all humans are bad? Yes. Yes, it does. But then at the end of the movie, you see Tramp with a collar.
Yeah.
And, like, they've got puppies, and he's adopted.
He's conformed, man.
He's essentially emasculated, in a sense, and assimilated into.
And he's probably fixed immediately after the litter came out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's like, nope, we got our dogs out of you. Lop off them nuts. So it's always vexing to see it. And the Aristocats, they do the same thing too, because one of the main characters, Tom O'Malley. Yeah. Is very much the cat version of Tramp, essentially. This guy, like, who's living free and stray in the wild and on his own. And then at the end of the movie, he moves into this mansion with these cats who are owned by this rich lady. And he's got a collar and everything. It's like, no, man. Like, the lesson here is everything will be okay if you're not poor. And it's a huge bummer. It's a huge bummer, Disney.
But, I mean, if you're going to be poor, have the charisma to act like you're rich, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, there's
like Aladdin.
Yep,
poor Lady in the Tramp.
Therein lies the rub.
I mean, he may be homeless and poor, but he gets free spaghetti whenever he wants, so he's fine.
That free spaghetti, you gotta know me. I like to do that at one point. Tramp, who is this pretty street smart dog, knows what he's doing. At one point, thinks it's a good idea to ask an alligator to do the precision removal of Lady's muzzle to the point where she essentially does the head in the lion of a lion tamer trick. And then only, like, after it opens its jaw, it's like, oh, right, that's how alligators work.
I forgot, despite him speaking human languages, that, yes, he is a bloodthirsty killer.
Yeah. Well, even the way he says it, no problem. It's like, he's going to kill someone. Because no matter what the movie is, alligators are evil.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anybody with a deep bass voice in the movie is the evil.
Yeah, yeah. You never hear the rat speak, which...
I assume that he is James Earl Jones, and they just cut his talking.
The rat. I'm gonna kill that baby. It's like every animal can speak. Why doesn't the rat get his chance to pipe up? Maybe he was giving him, like, I don't know, fucking beta blockers or something to strengthen the baby up. You know, maybe he was popping up there to read him a story. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he was on his way back to that farm where a spider writes things about a pig in a web.
I mean, that could be true. Like, the humans were misreading what the dogs were doing. Maybe the dogs were misreading what the rat was doing, and he just got crucified for it. Maybe he's just tucking the baby in with his little rat balls.
Yeah, little rat. I'm just, time to go to bed, little baby. I'm a rat. I saw some cheese crackers on the floor in the kitchen. I'm going to go nip those up real quick. Also, Siamese cats, nowhere to be seen after that one scene.
No. It's just like a one-off thing.
Yeah.
Disney's like, well, it's not racist enough yet. Let's just throw something in here.
I feel like you probably could have found any other way to put Lady in the pound. What if the rat had come in and wreaked havoc?
Yeah.
You seem to like going back to the well so much. You really love that old reliable joke so much that you went back to it four times.
I just assumed that dog was from the South. I don't know if it was or not. I don't even know where this is set, honestly.
Let's see if we can find out. The dog was definitely from the South because you find out that his backstory is he used to be a tracking dog for cops, it sounded like. And at one point, they even say, like, he would track criminals, like, through swamps and everything. So, definitely a southern dog. And him being a hound, that's implied as well.
He's an aristocratic dog. I, like, gave you the theory that it was, like, an oil family.
Yeah, Daniel Plainview's dog. Just my dog and my partner, trusty. It's in 1909 is when it takes place, which explains why everything is pulled by horses, because Henry Ford hasn't gotten there forever.
There's no paved roads.
Yeah, it's all cobblestone. But, yeah, like, it's a nondescript, non-specific town. We don't know.
There's, like, English Bobby policemen. But then there's also an English... There's, like, an American dog.
Yeah, so it's...
In the tramp.
But, and then, like, her owners are American, too.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's very...
Then there's
very
like some actor with a bad Scottish accent doing Scotty Dog.
All right, New England. That's where it is. We learned that by consulting the Wikipedia page for Lady and the Tramp 2 Scamp's Adventure. So, all right, so we know it was in New England at least. So,
I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that seems pretty fitting.
Because even the American actors had that, like, what do they call that accent? That was only around in, like, the 30s, 40s, and 50s. It's, like, that newscaster voice from then. Forget what they call that. It's, like, the New England thing, I guess, where it's, like, the aristocratic kind of way of speaking that nobody ever spoke like that in movies.
These fucking people. Come in here. Don't even tell us what fucking town they're in.
Fucking Hollywood.
Boston, Maine, fucking Connecticut. Actually, Connecticut kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Bunch of rich, fucking shitty-ass people. God, I've never been to Connecticut. If I do, I'm gonna start some fucking shit, man. You hear that, Connecticut? Dustin Meadows declaring war on a podcast. I'm coming for you. Oh no, I got blood on my ascot. Cool, neato. You're dead now. Dustin Meadows don't pull no punches.
I felt like that would have made a more interesting story, though. Like the end where they just... All the dogs were released from the pound... The tramp forgets about Lady, because they're two different people. I mean, let's be honest.
They're literally from opposite sides of the tracks.
They're not going to end up together. Then all the dogs from the pound congregate, make a plan to start a revolution. They burn the town down.
Oh, man, I would love that.
Anarchy ensues.
I'm all for the movie, and then when they die, they all go to heaven. Because that's how it works, I heard.
And then the people go in the pound, and that's...
Oh, man, Animal Farm. That would have been... Oh, that would have been so good. Why isn't that the movie we watched? It's weird. There's actually an episode of the show Erie, Indiana where that kind of happens. A character... Are you familiar with the show?
No.
It's... Oh, man. It's such a... It's this bizarre Saturday morning live-action show that ran like when cartoons ran, when that was still a thing. And it was on Fox Kids. And it was kind of like The Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone had an overarching narrative... And was confined to one town specifically. The town being Erie, Indiana, spelled the spooky way, not like the lake way.
Yeah.
But there's an episode of it where this one-off character gets introduced to the two main characters, and he gets like a new set of braces that somehow allow him to hear what dogs are thinking, and the dogs are planning to like rise up against the humans. And I don't remember how the episode ends, but like as soon as you said that, like the first thing that popped in my head is that episode of Eerie Indiana.
Well, you said it's a kid show, so I'm assuming it's a bloodbath.
It's implied that he gets killed by the dogs at the end, because like the last time you see him is him leading the dogs away, like out of town, and being chased off, and then that character never comes back. So he was most definitely violently murdered by a pack of fucking dogs.
Or he's kept as like the sex puppet for the dogs. Like they chain him up and like keep his clothes off, and they use him when they want to. And they.
All right, we'll help the fuck boy. But all we would hear is, oh, oh, oh. Either way, not a happy ending for the kid with the braces that could hear how dogs talked.
It never is.
No, why would it be?
That old TV trope.
that old song and dance we're all so familiar with. Jesus. So how would you compare this to other Disney movies that you have seen?
It was good. There's a lot of good parts. The animation's beautiful.
Yeah, the animation's very good.
I like hand-drawn animation like that. But I don't know, like, it's obviously a formula. And like, yeah, the formula works, but, I mean, there's not much other than the formula. It's kind of disappointing, actually.
Yeah.
As far as Disney movies go, I don't know. It's definitely not up there.
Yeah. It's definitely, I like it, but I like more the ideas that are going on it than anything, because like my favorite Disney movies, they tend to revolve around kind of that idea of classism and class warfare that I mentioned earlier. So stuff like this, like the Aristocats, Hunchback, Aladdin, all that stuff I'm very into, even though those movies all end the opposite of how I would actually want them to end.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that
it's an easy story to tell.
Yeah.
You don't have to really think about it. You can just add whatever to it.
You can just keep living your life with fences and leashes. I really wish that at one point Tramp had fucking called one of them Sheeple. Just was really hoping for that twist.
I was hoping he'd be wearing a fedora and a Guy Fawkes mask.
Telling us how God doesn't exist and showing off his sword collection.
Yeah, keeps calling Lady my lady.
M'lady, my pidge.
Where's the Mountain Dew store, m'lady?
Why won't you talk to me? You're being a literal bitch.
Dog zoned again.
Dog zoned. I don't think we can top that.
He's wearing a trench coat the entire time. This is where I keep all my cherry bombs, lady. I'm going to show those postal workers.
Oh, that's such a bummer. I don't want Tramp to be an NRA. They're the worst. Oh, I think this is a good point to wrap it up. Wrap it up with our favorite moments besides that couple minutes of hot riffing we just did there. What was your favorite moment?
Oh man, you start.
Are you gonna put that on me?
On me first.
Well, I told you I was going to, but that's how it always goes. I think for me, the pound scene. Oh Jesus, we didn't even talk about the pound scene.
Oh man,
we gotta do that before we wrap up.
Yeah. But,
Jesus Christ, how fucking depressing is that scene?
Yeah.
Like, first, it's all the dogs just harmonizing the saddest thing in the world.
But it's also strangely beautiful.
It is. It's sad and beautiful in the way that, like, a Smiths song is. Like, it's very much, it's in that kind of nature.
Yeah, the bulldog doing the bass line.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. And then, clearly, the Russian dog is Morrissey. It's like, oh, this charming dog. He would go out tonight, but he literally can't because he's in the pound.
He's got English blood and an Irish heart.
Well, it's rough, you know, because, I mean, every time those dogs go out, the dog catcher rolls out with the snare and he's like, you are the quarry.
He's like, please, 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 let me get what I want. I just want to get the hell out of this pound.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You know, there's... they want to go back to their master's home because, I mean, there's a light that never goes out. Wonder how long we can keep this bit going.
I'm out of Smith songs.
You're out of Smith songs.
One of them wasn't even a Smith song. It was just a straight up Morrissey song when he went solo.
I mean, these things happen, you know?
Yeah.
And I got nothing. I really don't. I was hoping to stall for a second. You know? So Tramp could just roll back and say, "Sweetness, I was only joking." When I said something else.
No, like the pound scene with the chihuahua with the Mexican. Like stereotypical Mexican accent.
Yeah.
Done by a white actor, probably.
Hey, my sister, Rosita, Chiquita, Lazo. Like, that's a white person doing that. Which is funny because in Oliver and Company, several decades later, there's a chihuahua that's actually played by Cheech Marin, who doesn't sound like a white guy doing a Mexican accent because what? Obviously.
Yeah. Does he still do the bit where he's like, "Oh, we got white pussy, Russian
that
pussy"?
Hot from Dusk Till Dawn. Not my favorite bit. The Oliver and Company. That's another one too.
Yeah,
where it's all these animals are like, "Oh, life on the streets. You know, we live by our own terms." And then the animal's like, "Oh, let's go live in a penthouse in Queens or wherever."
Let's get regular meals now and not be independent anymore.
Yeah, let's not steal sausages from hot dog vendors. Yeah. Okay, you fucking sellouts and cowards.
Actual moral of that story, like, don't follow your dreams, kids. Just settle for the nicest option available to you.
I think that's kind of every Disney movie when you really break it down. Unless your dream is to bang a princess who owns a tiger. In that case, get it, bro.
Well, Lion King, he didn't really settle, did he?
Ah, that's true. No, but at the same time, he's born into a life that he had no control over. He had to become king.
I mean, if I were him, I just would have hung out with Timon and Pumbaa all the time.
Right?
The jungle, just, like, short responsibility.
He was having fun with that. And then they're like, "No, you must take your place in the circle of life." He's like, "Okay, Dad, you're dead, but you're still controlling me, I guess." Not. Simba never
You're right, shit. Yeah. They're all pushed into these things that they don't really want to do.
Yeah, they're all just
kind of... It goes completely against character that have been set up.
Yeah. It's like, no, things are going fine for you. You got these awesome friends who care about you. You're living a freewheeling life. You're happy. This is the first time you smiled since, you know, your dad fucking died in front of your eyes. So, hey, maybe Nala's the jerk for bringing him back to Pride Rock.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the definition of character development, right?
Yeah, and there's that to a point, too. but I mean, yeah, like, I think most characters are kind of the reluctant heroes for the most part.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely a trope, but...
It's a good trope.
Yeah, yeah. It
works.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't tell it to learn how to be a Jedi. That's how that adage goes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, for me, my favorite moment, I really like the pound scene, which we mentioned. And I also really like, I like the scene with the beaver at the zoo. Just that entire zoo exchange.
Yeah, the beaver was good.
Yeah, the beaver was really cool. And also that scene opens with Tramp convincing a regular guy to fight a cop. And I'm all about fighting cops.
Oh, man, I forgot about that.
Fuck them.
That's so strange to watch that the cop didn't even care that a civilian is beating up on him.
Yeah. It's like, yes, part of me hopes that that guy that got into a fight with him was reading Kerouac when he started fighting, because then that would make that guy the dude from Jawbreaker, which I'm totally cool with.
Oh, man. Do you think he went to jail, though?
I'm pretty sure he probably killed that cop.
I mean, it was the 50s.
I think you could probably kill a cop in the 50s.
You either go to prison or you kill the cop.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the option these days, but I mean, the cop might have just let him off with a boys will be boys warning.
No, that's true.
It's like, we just lost his head. That's all right.
He got fired up.
Typical assault in the 50s.
These things happen. What about you? What was your favorite moment?
There's a couple. I don't know. I like how there's some, like, whether it's intentional or not, there's a lot of, like, creepily lit scenes where it's not really a creepy scene.
Yeah.
Where, like, lady's downstairs and can hear the baby crying upstairs. Yeah. It's, like, lit, like, eerily, like it's a horror movie for some reason. Yeah. I don't understand why that happened.
That first, when Tramp goes into the house, and, like, is at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really good shot. Like, when the lightning flashes very briefly, just the shadows that are cast.
Yeah. No, the animation's great. That's one of my favorite, I guess, just overall animation throughout the entire thing. I also like the Scotty dog.
Yeah.
That has a Scottish accent from an American actor.
Yeah. and his hoard of bones that we never learned anything about. Like, is he making a fuck doll? What's he doing with those bones?
Loose ends, man. You gotta tie him up these days.
Come on, man. You gotta wrap him up.
He's too busy winning Oscars to tie up these plot points.
Cool. Is there anything else for you?
No, I think I'm good.
Awesome. Cool. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Yeah. Thank you, Nathan, for coming on.
Thanks for
the
having me again. Yeah.
Absolutely, buddy. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.